Hey, consider the difference that proper size makes. When you go to the shoe store to try on a new pair of shoes, you have yourself measured so you know what fits. In the different stages of life, your feet are different, right? You grow into shoes, and then sometimes our feet shrink over time. So, hey, you wouldn't buy a pair of shoes that are too large or too small because they'd hurt or they would cause calluses. Do you live in a home that's too big? Have you developed metaphorical calluses? And maybe there are entire portions of your home that you're no longer living in, but you heat them? You clutter them? You ignore them? I'm going to help you today to find the right fit that's going to restore you to a balanced, comfortable home. And you'll rid yourself of calluses by unloading unnecessary possessions and converting your items into manageable resources. So let's remeasure your life. Let's see what's ill-fitting and find the right size for a better future. Traditionally, well-being in our lives has been divided into seven different areas of focus, which include intellectual, physical, social, vocational, emotional, spiritual, and environmental. And don't worry if you don't remember everything I just said, because you can download a free copy of the guide I'm speaking from today, The Right Sizing Guide, at ericstewartgroup.com. You go there, just go to the resources, and you can download your free copy. These seven areas of well-being, we want to use these to evaluate where you are right now and where you'd like to be in your future, how you want your life to look like, regardless of any hindrances or social expectations. See, this is a vital preparation for right sizing. Once you know how you want to change in each area of your well-being, you can start equipping yourself to do so. Until we actually are realistic and honest with ourselves, we won't go there. In the following part of the show, we're going to find ourselves working through worksheets to determine our preferable futures, which is why downloading a copy so you can have the worksheets and go through this exercise yourself will be very helpful to you. You might find that you're happy with where you are, that your life requires only minimal adjustments, and more likely than not, you'll discover that there are some major changes you'd like to make in your life. I think we all experience that from time to time. For instance, maybe your home has become cluttered and unused, but the thought of moving is frightening. Maybe you'd like to lose a few pounds, but you procrastinate on going to the gym. Maybe you have an idea for a book, but you haven't gotten around to starting it yet. Regardless of where you find yourself, it's time to right size. So let's just take a few minutes to answer some of the questions I'm going to go through here. Now, number one, for instance, if you're evaluating your current physical well-being, then that would we'd be evaluating the physical portion of the seven areas of wellness in your life. So you might say, I am kind of a six, meaning one is really needs work and 10 is satisfied, meaning you want to make some changes, but it's nothing imminent. So maybe the strength is you walk fine, you're able to accomplish a full day, no issues. But a weakness is you feel like, hey, I'm overweight, I'm not very consistent in my exercise. So your preferable future might include exercising daily, walking upstairs without breathing heavily, or being able to swim laps at the YMCA. Whatever your preferable future, that concept was introduced to me by a guy named Chris Hogan maybe 10, 12 years ago. And it's become a part of what I have implemented into my right sizing process, because we have to know what we prefer versus what we don't like. If we operate from the negative, we actually will not change. Like, I don't like the fact that I'm overweight, or I don't like the fact that I have no neighbors. These are the ways we complain about the issues. But what you really are saying is, I prefer to exercise and be trim. I prefer to be closer to relationships. I prefer to be able to fulfill my vocation, which I'm not doing now. If you are physically active in some way, can you maintain your current home by yourself? Do you need regular medical attention? This would be some of the question around physical. We would move from there to intellectual. Now, you say, okay, Eric, where does real estate fall into this conversation that we're having about the physical and about walking and so on? It falls into this. You have to look at where you live now and decide if the maintenance for your property or the ability for you to get out of your house or get into your car or just simply take care of it is really helping you physically achieve what your preferable future is. Maybe in life we make these decisions. We decide we're going to give something up that we feel is in some way controlling our lives. It could be just drinking coffee over Lent or drinking alcohol, or it could be potato chips. It could be anything that we decide to give up consuming. It can also be, I'm going to give up not exercising. Or in the positive, I want to start exercise. I want to start to build up over time. And I find this true in my life. As I made the decision to start to exercise, I'd have to stop running after less than a quarter mile and just breathe. And then I would get back up and start running. And I'd have to stop for another quarter mile. I'd have to stop again because I didn't have the stamina to keep going. And the next time I came out, I kind of had to do the same thing. And it wasn't until maybe the third or fourth time that I was able to get a half mile under my belt without having to walk some. Well, ultimately, now I've built my stamina up. I'm now feeling stronger, and I don't want to go back to where I was. But I had to start somewhere, and I had to say, this is what I prefer. Well, in order to pick something up, I have to put something down. So what is it I'm putting down? What is it that's so important in my life that I'm putting down to start my exercise? Well, it happened to be some routines that I'd built into my life that I thought I really liked from reading or watching the television or whatever it might be. We get into these patterns. I wake up in the morning now, and part of my pattern is getting my protein bar and my cup of coffee. And that's just like what I like to do. But if it keeps me from doing what I really want to do, then it's second best. So intellectually, physically, socially, and vocationally, or even emotionally, plus spiritually and environmentally, we want to evaluate where we are today and decide, what is my preferable future? What am I going to put down to pick up the thing I really, really would like to do? As you know, I work with widows quite often because of the nonprofit Widow Care that we've started here at the Eric Stewart Group. The goal has been to support and encourage widows to build social connections with each other and to find resources that they can rely on, plus provide resources for books and other things on the website at widowcare.org. What I've found is that the biggest challenge that that most widows face is the emotional heartache and loss that they face by walking through that widow's fog, the loss of their significant other. Same is true for widowers. So ultimately, a widow has to get to a point where they decide what their preferable future is. And we're here to support them, of course, but they have to decide what do they want their emotional well-being to look like. If they were going to call out their strengths and call out their weaknesses, how can they change their life in that moment? It's very difficult without the emotional support of someone coming alongside. And it's not just widows, but it's really anyone who struggles with loneliness. So then the decision becomes, what can I do differently so that I can have strength in my emotional well-being? What kinds of things, how would I like to see myself, and then what are the steps necessary? Again, now, how does this all relate back to real estate? See, owning a home is a responsibility. It's not a right. And owning a home comes with it a lot of responsibility and commitments that can either serve the preferable future you want to live or take away that opportunity. So we have to evaluate whether where we live now is going to support our preferable future or it's going to steal that opportunity from us. I'm a big believer in aging in place for people not to move, because there's a lot that you give up by not staying where you are. But how do we know whether aging in place or whether making a move makes the most sense? We have to start back at square one, evaluate where we are, where we're healthy and where we're not, and then find the right motivation to stay or to go. Let's decide where we're going right after this.